Psalms 46, we'll begin reading tonight in verse 1. The Bible says, God is our refuge, and our strength, very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come and behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Selah means pause and think about it. Amen. And there are several statements that David, or the author of the psalm, made here concerning God. And he says, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. There's twice, I think, or three times in this chapter that he makes reference to God being our refuge. And then he says, Selah, which means stop and think about it. Amen? God is your refuge. And we want to preach tonight, there is no fear when God is near. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and pray, God be my helper tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, as we call upon your name again, I love you and I thank you, Father, for the privilege it is to be your servant. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me all my sins tonight. Father, you know my heart. You know what I stand in need of, Lord, to be able to stand before your people and preach. I ask you, Lord, tonight to cleanse me of all sin and fill me with thy spirit, Father, that I might preach with liberty and boldness from thy word. Father, I pray that you'd meet the need of every heart that's come this way tonight. Father, only the Spirit of God, through the preaching of the Word, can meet those needs. And I just pray, Father, that thy Holy Spirit would apply the Scriptures as you see fit. Lord, we pray that you'd stir us, that you'd revive us. Lord, that you'd rekindle a flame within our soul. Give us that we stand in need of. Save the lost, reclaim the backslidden. We'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's no fear when God is near, amen? And of course, that's what David says here in Psalms 46. He said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, amen? So God is near when you're in trouble. Anytime that a child of God gets in trouble, you can count on it, according to the Word of God, that God is near. Now, he may not seem like he's near, but he is near, amen? And the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. We're not going by feelings, we're going by faith. And if you're not careful, you'll be wanting feelings and not be trusting in the Lord like you ought to, amen? When you're going through troubles, you ought to feel the presence of God, or you ought to see some great thing happen, but we're not to look for miracles, and we're not in the sense that we need a miracle to believe in God, amen, but we're not to look for miracles or seek for feelings to know that God is near. We're to believe what God says, amen. When you're going through a valley and when you're going through trouble, you can rest assured that the Lord knows what you're going through, amen, and he's going to be ever near to help you, amen. And so he's near when fears come. Don't doubt him, amen. He's there. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for it said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. And so it don't matter where you're at, what you're doing, what situation you're in, the Lord is with you. The Bible says in Psalms 50 and verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Amen. So God has promised to deliver you in the day of trouble if you'll call upon Him, and when He does deliver you, glorify Him in living for Him and testifying and telling folks what good things God's done for you. Isaiah 43 and verse 2 says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee, and when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I believe that God is able to keep us safe in the waters and in the floods and in the fire. Amen. God is able to deliver us out of all of our trouble. Mark 4:38 says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says he was asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Amen. And so as those disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee in that storm and their little ship was tossed about and about to go down, amen, they woke the Lord Jesus up and wondered whether he cared or not. Amen. I want to say that he cares and he's always in control. Amen. When he stood out on the bow of that ship and said, Peace be still, those are mighty waves, laid down at his feet. Amen. The wind quit blowing. Amen. And everything became calm in those disciples' lives. Amen. When Jesus calmed the storm. Well, he's able to calm any storm in your life. Don't matter what kind of storm it is, if you'll call upon him in the day of trouble, he will answer thee, he'll help thee, he'll deliver thee, and you glorify him. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus, and then whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, Peter said here that you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Christians go through seasons. Churches go through seasons. We go through natural seasons, don't we not? Or do we not? We have summer and fall and winter and spring. And, of course, not in Tucson, Brother Kellogg says. Amen. But anyhow, we should have four seasons, right? There's summer, fall, and winter and spring. Now, in the wintertime, nothing don't put on too much. And normally, if you was living back east where all the trees are and all that, in the wintertime all the leaves fall off, everything looks dead and dry, you know, and then the springtime comes. It starts warming up and getting a few little showers, you know, and everything starts budding out, you know, and getting flowers on it, you know, and getting leaves on it and putting fruit on. That's the springtime. Summertime comes, time for harvest, amen, in the latter part of the summer, you know, and into the fall, and of course everything starts going through that cycle again. And of course churches go through a seasons, Christians go through seasons. There's going to be some dry places in your life, there's going to be some barren spots in your life, but thank God if you'll get up close to the Lord Jesus, springtime will come and you'll bear fruit in your season. Amen. The Bible said there in Psalms chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the seat of the scornful, nor Let me turn over there. I misquoted, amen. I could quote the whole thing sometimes. Amen, not tonight, amen. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The Bible says here that a child of God is going to bring forth his fruit in his season. And so you'll produce fruit at different seasons. You'll be going through winter times in your life. You'll be going through summers. You'll be going through falls and spring times. And so you've got to realize that. Churches go the same way. Sometimes everything seems dry and cold, and and then all of a sudden the Spirit of God starts moving, things start picking up. Man, you got the joy of the Lord, and you're shouting and hanging from the rafters, amen, and just having a good time. And then there's a time to labor, you know, in the summertime. There's a time to reap, and all those different things we go through. And but the Bible teaches us that the Lord is ever near. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. God is going to try your faith. And so he allows things to come in your life to try your faith. He allows the devil to tempt you. He allows things to happen in your life so that you'll learn to trust in him and not trust feelings and not trust in the government and not trust in your job and not trust in somebody else, amen, but trust in the Lord, amen. And so he allows you to go through things. But he's a very present help in time of trouble. And so there's no fear when he's near. He's near when fears come. In Psalms 56:3, the psalmist said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." When you're afraid, trust in the Lord, amen, because he will help you, and he's ever near to do so. Now, secondly, I'd like to say it, he is near when finances fail. Amen. He understands our need, amen. And when by finances failing, I'm talking about you lose a job, some unexpected event happens, somebody gets a sickness and has to be at the hospital all the time or whatever. I mean, something bad happens, maybe you're in a car wreck, maybe all kinds of things can happen. And I mean, all the money that you make can fly out the door. I mean, it's gone in just a little while.
Or less.
Amen. It can be gone in a moment. But anyway, when finances fail, God is near. The Bible says in Matthew 8:20, Jesus said unto him, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Well, the Lord knew what it was to be to not have a house to live in. He knew what it was to be not to have a lot of clothes, not material things.
Amen.
The Bible says that he that was rich became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Amen.
Amen.
So Christ became poor that we could be blessed and have more things, amen, that we could have never had without him. Amen. But in Matthew 17:24, the Bible says, "When they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute?" That's taxes, all right. He saith, "Yes." And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers?" Peter said, saith unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee." Amen. And so Peter gets his little cane bowl or whatever he had. Amen. He goes out there and casts his little worm out there in the water. And there's a big old fish latches onto it. He pulls it into shore, opens its mouth up, and there's a big old piece of gold or silver, whatever, in its mouth. He takes that money, pays his taxes, pays the Lord's taxes, so he won't offend them. Amen. Offend the Roman government or whatever. Amen. And so anyway, the Lord is able to take, when the tax man comes around, amen, the IRS or whatever, he's able to help you pay your taxes.
Amen.
Amen. Do what's right. God will take care of you. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters.
Right.
For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
Amen.
Don't worry about material things, money and all that kind of stuff. Serve God.
Amen.
Serve the Lord. You cannot serve two masters. If material things is your master, you can't serve God.
Amen.
If what you have and what you're wanting to get is consuming your life, then you're not in service for the Lord.
Amen.
You've got to just trust in the Lord to take care of your needs.
Amen.
In whatever situation you find yourself. Now, he said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink. Did anybody go without anything to eat today or anything to drink? I didn't, and I hope you didn't. I don't think you did if you're serving the Lord. I doubt if you did.
Not for years.
Amen. Been a lot of years since I don't think I've ever. Now, I have fasted some. I have done without food and water on purpose. But I've never, in the 53 years that I've lived, went hungry. And I thank God for that. Some people have went hungry. Some people starved to death. But I can honestly say, in the 53 years that I've been alive, as far as I know, I've never missed a meal unless I chose to do so. I've never been without something to eat or something to drink. Especially after I got saved, amen. God has always supplied the things that I need to eat and drink. And so he said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat and the body than raiment. I got more clothes now than I've ever had. Now they might not be new clothes, but I've got more clothes in my closet. In fact, I need to throw some out. I've outgrown them. I can't wear them no more, and they've got about 2 inches of dust on them, and I probably need to get rid of them. But I've got more clothes than I've ever had in my life. I've got more shoes to wear than I've ever had. In fact, my wife always tells me, throw them, you get a new pair of shoes, throw that old pair out. I keep the old pair. I work in them, things like that, you know, and they're more comfortable than the new ones.
I would miss them.
And, right. Yeah, I've grown to love them, you know. But I've got more clothes, more shoes than I've ever had in my life. And not saying that I'm rich, not saying that I have a lot of things, but I have what I need. And I thank the Lord for that. And I'm not worrying about going naked. I'm not worrying about having something to eat. I know that God is able to take care of me. He said, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, or today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And then he said, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. All right? Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. That's what the Bible says. Now, he knows what you need before you need it.
Amen.
He knows what's going to happen before it happens. He knows the financial reverses that you're going to have in your life before they ever happen. And God is able to provide even in advance. And he does many times. And the Bible says here, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. But he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
I've had people come to this church at different times asking for handouts. If I'm down here at church, I get two or three calls a day, people want handouts. And I'm not against helping somebody that has a real need. I'm not against that at all. But I am against people that take advantage of the church, amen, and try to get a free meal and buy beer and whiskey or dope or whatever with it, amen, and live like the devil on God's people's money, amen. I don't believe in helping people out that don't really need help. Now, what I'm trying to say is that there's a lot of people that will come to church, ask for handouts. We've had people come in during service going on, you know, and somebody asked them what they want. They need some gas, they need this, or they need that, you know. And you tell them, sit down and wait till the service is over and we'll help you. And they won't even stay. They're gone.
Amen.
You know. But I've told people many times, that's one reason I got that sign back there on that wall. People walked in this church and they start saying, oh, how bad they've got it and how bad things are. They love the Lord. They're saved by the grace of God. They just love Jesus, you know. But they don't have nothing and they need help real bad. And I'll point to that sign over there, and the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
Amen.
Amen. If you live a righteous life, you live according to that Bible, if you're able to work, you'll be doing some work, making a living. Amen. If you can find a job, Brother Hoff, he's looking for a job. Amen. Praise he'll get a job. And Brother Hoff works. Amen. He's been working a long time, hasn't he, Sister Hoff? Amen. But he's out of a job right now. He needs a job. Now, I don't know if I was supposed to say that or not, Brother Hoff, but he needs a job. You need to pray the Lord to help him find a job in Tucson so he don't have to move out of the country, amen, or hit the road or travel, whatever, amen. Pray to God to give him the job that he needs. But he's not afraid to work, I don't reckon. But there's a lot of people afraid to work, aren't they? Amen. There's a lot of people that sat out in the hot blazing sun, 120 degrees, with a cardboard sign saying, I'm hungry and I need help. Amen. And they'll work harder to stay out of work.
Amen.
If they'd find them a job, they wouldn't have to work near as hard. Find them a job flipping hamburgers in an air-conditioned building somewhere out of the heat. Amen. And make more money. But they...
make a lot of money doing that.
Well, yeah, some of them probably do. I saw one fella playing for his groceries with a debit card, amen. So I thought he's supposed to be homeless, you know.
Maybe he lives at the bank.
Yeah, he's got a bank account. What are you saying? I'm just saying, people, if you'll put God first in your life, you'll put the Lord first in your life, He'll take care of your needs. He'll give you the job you need. He'll give you the clothes you need. He'll give you the food that you need. He'll take care of those things.
Amen.
Amen. And I believe that the Bible teaches that if we put God first, and by putting God first, we do what the Bible says. Amen. And of course, that's provide for families and things like that. Now, Isaiah 25:4 says, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is a storm against the wall. Now, the Bible says here that the Lord is the strength to the poor. There is poor people. There is needy people. Lazarus was a needy person, was he not? And yet Lazarus went to paradise. I believe he was a child of God. Why he was in that predicament, I have no idea. But they didn't have social services back then like they do now. They didn't have the government to go to and get a handout and help them pay their bills. It's like the blind man sat at the beautiful gate that they sat there daily and he asked alms. He didn't have no means of making a living. And Lazarus was a man that had some terrible physical infirmities. And evidently he wasn't able to work either. And so he's asking for a handout from a rich man. He's asking for some crumbs. Amen. The rich man won't even give him no crumbs. The Bible says that he was filled with sores. The dogs came and licked his sores. And so he may have had leprosy. He may have had cancer or something. I don't know what he had. But Lazarus was a man that wasn't able really to do a lot of work, I'm sure. But God took care of him. He took him home to paradise. Amen. If God will take care of you one way or the other. Amen. But I don't believe that God will let you down if you do what that Bible says.
Amen.
I believe God will take care of it. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So what do you need? Do you need spiritual help? God's able to supply it.
Amen.
You need physical help? God's able to do it.
Amen.
You need financial help? God's able to help you.
Amen.
Amen. Just take it to the Lord. Cast your care upon the Lord, for he careth for you.
Amen.
And so he's near when finances fail. He's near when failures cripple. Okay? What are you talking about, preacher? Do you remember Peter? Peter failed the Lord. That means Peter had denied the Lord three times. You remember that Peter was always bold and always opening his mouth when he shouldn't sometimes. And the Lord told his disciples, said that I'm going to have to go and be to Calvary and be crucified. They're going to crucify me, and the third day I'm going to rise again, you know. But before that, he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said that they're saying that you're John the Baptist or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But he said, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord says, "Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then the Lord began to show disciples that he's going to be crucified and rise again the third day. And Peter took him aside and said, "Not so, Lord. That can't happen to you. That's not going to happen to you." And the Lord turned to Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Because Peter knew if the Lord was going to Jerusalem and be crucified, he'd have to go and suffer as well. Why? Because he's a disciple. He's a follower. He's going where the Lord's going. The Lord's talking about being rejected and being murdered on the cross, being crucified. And the Lord had done told his disciples, "You're going to be my disciple. You're going to have to take up your cross and follow me." Peter didn't want to go that far. And so he said, "Not so, Lord." And the Lord rebuked him, called him Satan. You know, of course, he's saying that Satan was using him. Okay, basically it's what the Lord's saying. And you'll remember that the Lord told him that, of course, that these things would happen. And Peter says, "I'll go with you all the way." Basically is what he's saying. "I'm going to go with you all the way." He said, "Peter," he said, everybody's going to forsake me tonight. And you're going to forsake me before the cock crows twice. You're going to deny me thrice." He said, "I'll never do that. I'll never deny you, Lord." And of course, you know what happened. The mob came and took the Lord Jesus and took him down there and held a mock trial. And Peter followed afar off and sat down with the wicked crowd by the devil's fire. Amen. And there's a little damsel come around and said, "I know you," said, "you're one of Jesus' disciples." He said, "I've not done it. I don't know that man." And of course, a little while later, there's another come and said, "Why, your speech is Galilean. Your speech bereath you. I know that you're one of his disciples." He said, "I'm not his disciple. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I'm just reading between the lines, paraphrasing." And a little while later, somebody else asked Peter, said, "Why, we know that we saw you in the garden. We know that you're one of his disciples." He began to curse and to swear and said, "I know not the man." And the Bible says that Jesus turned and looked at Peter. The cock crew, Jesus turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the words of the Lord Jesus, and the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. Do you know if you can't deny the Lord and do things wrong and not and not be condemned about it and convicted of if you're really saved.
Amen.
And Peter failed the Lord. He denied the Lord three times before the wicked crowd. And it broke his heart that he had done so. Have you ever done things in your life that really you surprised yourself? Why did I do that? Why did I think that? Why did I say that? Why did I do that? And you felt so rotten in your soul. You felt so dirty and you felt so defiled that you had said that word or had that thought or did that deed, whatever it was. And you knew that you had failed God. Aren't you glad that the Lord is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances? The Bible teaches us over in the book of John chapter 21 that Peter told those other disciples, he said, I go fishing. And they said, we also go with thee. Now this is after Peter denied the Lord. The Lord had resurrected from the dead and appeared unto Peter and John and the other disciples in the upper room. But Peter had been called to leave his fishing business and follow Jesus and become a fisher of men. And now Peter says, I'm going fishing. You know, when you get wrong with the Lord, you feel like you failed God, and boy, the devil's just beating you to death with it, amen. If you're not careful, you'll try to slip back into the old life. But you won't get that far, amen, without God dealing with you. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Peter was slipping back toward the old life. I'm going fishing. They got in that commercial fishing boat again and headed out on the Sea of Galilee, and they cast nets all night. Those disciples didn't catch one thing.
Amen.
I mean, you don't prosper when you're away from the Lord, when you fail God and you're away from God and haven't been restored to the Lord. Amen. You're not going to prosper.
Right.
And so they're out there on the sea, they're toiling and they're casting those nets, you know, and they don't catch a thing. And about right at daybreak, they see a little fire over there on the shore. And they hear somebody out there on the shore calling across the water, children, have you any meat? Don't have a thing. We fished all night, we hadn't caught nothing. And the voice says, cast your net on the other side. And they cast the net on the other side and enclose a great multitude of fish.
Amen.
And John says to Peter, it's the Lord. And old Peter, he jerks his fisher's coat on him because he was naked. The Bible says, jumped in the water, grabbed that net, and began to pull it to the shore. Had 153 great fish in that net. And they pulled those fish up on the shore. They got up there on the shore and come over where the Lord was. And Peter sat down, and there the Lord's got fish frying in the pan. Amen. And he says to Peter, Peter, do you love me more than these? You love me more than these fish? That's what I think he's saying. Or maybe he's saying, you love me more than these, them other disciples. But I think he's saying, you love me more than these fish? I'm able to give you fish, boy. You don't even have to get out there and throw your net out.
Amen.
You love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, then feed my sheep. And of course, the Lord said to him again, said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? He said, Lord, I love you. He said to him the third time, Peter, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And of course, that when he said that third time, he's talking about with all of his heart, with that godly love. He said, I really love you. And the third time, the Lord told him to feed his sheep. What's the Lord telling Peter? I know you failed. You denied me three times. Now you confess that you love me three times. And Peter, I want you back in my service. I want you back in my will. I want you doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
And so the Lord, when you fail Him, when you're crippled through failures, He's ever present.
Amen.
To help you, to restore you, to forgive you your sins, and get you right again. Don't let the devil ever tell you that God won't forgive you. Don't let the devil tell you that the Lord is not merciful. The Bible says His mercy endureth forever. Amen? And God will forgive you if you want restoration, if you want to be restored to fellowship, if you want to be restored to service. God is able to restore you.
Amen.
Why? Because He's near to do so. And then, fourthly, He's near when frailties concern us. Now, there's a lot of people that's sick in this church. And I hope it's not for taking the Lord's Supper the wrong way. Amen. But we have a lot of people that have physical infirmities that comes to this church. About everybody in here has got something wrong with them. Amen. If I start going down the list tonight, I'd probably leave somebody out. But I can look down this little congregation tonight, and about everybody in here has got something wrong with you. Some of it's physical, some of it's mental. Amen. Some of it's... Amen. I don't know. I think we're all about high crazy. I don't know. Anyway, I know we all got something. We got different things wrong with us. Some of us have diseases. Amen. Some of us has been in accidents, like Brother Murphy. Brother Murphy's got been in a terrible accident. I've got a little bit of blood sugar, high blood sugar, you know, and I've got aches and pains getting old and all that, you know. But Robert's got a physical infirmity, and who else here? Brother Ross got a physical infirmity. Sister Kellogg, Brother Kellogg got physical infirmity. Brother Mike got a physical infirmity. Amen. And I could go on and on. Most of us got something wrong with it. But some are more serious than others.
Amen.
And then some people face really bad things. I'm talking about terminal illnesses and things like that. And if we live long enough, most of us in this building is going to face some kind of terminal illness.
Right.
Something that's going to take our life. And I'm glad to know that even when I get to that place in my life, the Lord's not going to leave me. The Lord's going to give me the grace that I need. The Lord's going to give me the strength that I need to face that problem, whatever it is, that sickness. In Matthew 8:14, the Bible says, when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. I'm glad the Lord's able to heal you. Amen? I believe in divine healing. I don't believe in divine healers other than God.
Amen.
Amen. But I do believe in divine healing. I believe that God has healed a lot of people.
Amen.
I know God has touched people. And I've seen God touch people and raise them up. And let them live a long time after the doctors done give up on them. Amen. And I know that God can do that. John 9:1 says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it's day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spit, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. Now, I wanted to say this. The Bible says here, the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The Lord said, neither one of them had sinned that he was born blind. His blindness is not because of their sin. His blindness is not because of his sin or his parents' sin. His blindness is for the glory of God.
Amen.
Why? Because Jesus was fixing to give his eyesight back. And that was going to bring glory to the Lord. And sometimes God allows physical infirmities in your life to bring glory to God. It's not necessarily because of your sin.
Amen.
And I believe God lets you know the difference.
Amen.
I believe, Lord, if it is for your sin, I believe God will let you know it's for your sin.
Amen.
Amen. But if you got something wrong with you, something physically wrong with you, happens to you, what kind of glory is God going to get out of that? That's what you ought to be asking yourself. He's not going to leave you in that infirmity. He's going to help you in that infirmity, give you the grace and strength to go through whatever that infirmity brings in your life. Amen? Very present help in time of trouble. So, 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure," Paul said. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness."
Amen.
Paul said here that God told him that I'm not going to heal you, Paul. Now, Paul had apostolic powers. Paul had raised people from the dead. Paul had healed sick people, cast out devils through the name of Jesus Christ. But three times he prayed that God would remove this physical infirmity from him. And God said, "I'm not going to do it. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." When you become weak and you can't help yourself and you start depending on God's strength, God will give you the strength. And then God gets the glory from it. And it brings rejoicing to your heart. Amen. Notice what Paul said. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." What's he talking about? He said, God gave me more power. God gave me more grace. God is doing the work through me. It's not me doing it now with my physical strength, but God's keeping me going. Amen? And God's getting the glory from it. What was Paul's infirmity? There's a lot of speculation about that. I believe he had some kind of eye disease. He told Philippians, said, "You would have plucked your eyes out and give them to me if you could have." I believe he had some kind of eye problem. Maybe it was ugly. Maybe it wasn't too good to look at. And Paul thought that he could no longer serve God the way that he had been serving the Lord. But God assured him that he would. "I'll give you the grace to keep on serving me with the physical infirmities." That's why sometimes Paul used people to pen down these epistles. You know, he had writers that would write for him. Probably couldn't see too good. And I'm just speculating, but I think that's probably what it was. Had some kind of eye disease. But he wanted God to remove it. Why? Because so that he could have perfect eyesight again, know that he could continue on working for God. That's what he thought. That I can keep on serving you and preaching the gospel in the regions beyond. And God said, "I'm not going to take it away. I'm just going to give you the grace to keep on going with the infirmity." And so Paul said, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." When you become weak, when you realize you're weak and you can't do the work of God in your own strength and you're trusting the Lord to give you the strength to do it, then you become strong.
Amen.
You become strong spiritually. Amen. You're trusting the Lord, and the Lord keeps you going.
Amen.
And so he's near when frailty is concerned. Lastly, he's near when finality comes. Amen. So when a loved one dies, or we're nearing our death, I believe the Lord will be near us and near them. The Bible says in Psalms 116:15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Amen. It's more precious to God when a saint dies than it is him remaining on the earth. In fact, God would like, I'm sure, to take all of us to heaven, but he would be without witness on the earth. God's left us here to be an ambassador for heaven. He's left us here to be a witness for him. Now, if God wanted to, he could take us all home. No problem with that. The Lord could come. The rapture could take place. We'd all be gone. And he'd pour his wrath out upon this earth. But God wants us to remain on the earth and serve him until he's ready for us to come home. And when he's ready for us to come home, the Bible says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Why? Because they're coming home.
Amen.
We're his child, and we're going home to see the Father.
Amen.
Amen? And he's going to see his children. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember when I was young and I left home and I would come back home to visit my parents. It was a blessed time. I enjoyed walking in that door and seeing my old dad get up off the couch and grab my hand and hug my neck and say, "Son, it's good to see you." Amen. And my children hasn't left yet, and I'm not looking forward to the day when they do. Amen. But if they ever do leave and they come home for a visit or whatever, I guarantee you it's going to excite me.
Amen.
It'll excite, I know it'll excite me. I ain't been there yet, but I know it's going to excite me. Amen. I'll be looking forward to the day that they come for a visit. Amen. And some of you parents that are already there and have experienced that, is that not so?
Amen.
Brother Ross, if your son from Ohio could come visit you next week, I'm sure you'd probably get a little excited.
Yeah.
See him, see, probably more so seeing the grandchildren.
Amen.
Amen. Well, he's saying, I'm just saying that the Lord looks forward for us coming home. I believe that with all my heart. But he's going to be ever present when we near the time to cross over. And when our loved ones is crossing over. Luke 7:11 says, "It came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. Many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people." Amen. I'm telling you, he was concerned about people that was grieving, that was going to experience some death. Amen. You remember over there at the tomb of Lazarus when he saw Mary and Martha and the Jews weeping around that tomb. The Bible says that Jesus groaned in his spirit and Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? Amen. Why did he weep? He was touched with the feelings of their infirmity. He was touched with their grief. He told his disciples, "You weep with those who weep, and you rejoice with those who rejoice."
Amen.
He saw what sin had done in taking people's lives and bringing death. Amen. Lord Jesus understood all that. But he saw the heartbreak and he saw the grief that's associated with sin and death.
Amen.
And it grieved him in his heart. Amen. And he wept. He was touched with their grief. He shed tears at the tomb of Lazarus, even though he knew that just a moment he was going to resurrect him from the dead. He was still in a state of concern and compassion for those that was grieving. And when you're in that position, when you're grieving over a loved one that's passed away, or maybe you have a terminal illness and you're fixing to pass away, I guarantee you he's concerned about it.
Amen.
And when you're weeping, I believe the Lord weeps. When you're troubled, he's troubled. Amen. But he knows what the answers are and he knows how to take care of the problem. He's able to heal people. He's able to give grace and comfort to those that are in need of comfort. And I don't know about you, but he has me many times.
Amen.
He's given me the comfort that I need when a loved one's passed away. When a friend's passed away. When I faced people that were dying and talked to them about the things of God. Amen. And I've seen the grace of God in their life. Amen. How that God had comforted them. And God had given them grace to die. It was an encouragement to my heart. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just saying God's people that love the Lord, they die good. Amen. If you're in love with the Lord and you're living for the Lord, when it comes to die, you'll die good. Why? Because he's going to give you the grace and strength to do it. He's going to be near you. He's going to be with you.
Amen.
Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation, again, let your conversation be without covetousness, be content with such things as ye have, for he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee. So when you're coming to the point of death, he's still there. Amen. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So, I'll conclude in our text where David said in Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Don't be troubled, child of God. Whatever need you have, he's able to meet it. Whatever situation you find yourself in, he'll be there with you. Give you grace and strength and the comfort you need to go through it. Amen. Trust in him with all your heart. Amen. God is able. We serve a God who can. He can furnish a table in the wilderness. Amen. He can furnish a table in Tucson. He can furnish a table wherever you're at. And so trust in him with all your heart. Don't go by feelings. Your feelings will deceive you.
Right. Amen.
Amen. But God's Word will never fail you. Amen. Let's stand together tonight for prayer. And one of you girls come to the piano. Page 390 in the Green Hymn Book, we'll sing an invitation song tonight. And if you need to come and talk to the Lord tonight about anything, you obey Him.